And what a blessing to be able to be with you here. Well, first off, good morning. Hope you're doing well, Marquette Manor. Blessing to be back with you as well. Opportunity to be able to preach God's word. And I see little people are heading out, so I guess that's cool, right? All right. Just making sure that I didn't say something offensive already, you know, as we have started off. But anyway, blessed to go back. Blessed to be part of your Christian school, the commencement. You know, it's always a privilege, you know, one of those areas that you get, the, you know, sometimes when you speak like at a school camp or whatever, and sometimes it works out to come back and do that commencement thing. And I only know, I only had a small touch point within their life, but what a blessing it is to be able to come. And just one last charge, just one last something as they get ready to embark on a new place in their life. And here it sounds like, well, all the degrees that were read out, I was like, I'm glad they didn't read mine. Adrian graduated barely, you know. However, what a blessing it is. Shows that definitely the Lord's blessed. Definitely strong family units that are here, and what a great crowd here on this Sunday morning. And even as I think, I appreciate all the service, but I appreciate the selection of the scripture reading. What a powerful passage of, powerful passage of scripture. Wow, greater love hath no man than this. You know, I appreciate distinctly, Pastor, the distinction you have made there with Memorial Day. And, you know, obviously Veterans Day, we thank those who have served, who, you know, wear the cloth, you know, who have served, but obviously those who have given their life for our country. It means a lot to our family. My wife especially, it was her brother who was killed in Afghanistan, Leon Lucas Jr., Staff Sergeant, gave his life there in Halmstad Province there. And, you know, obviously when we think about the time and everything that goes on, what a time for us to reflect and thank God for those. And I know there might be even some who have had their life touched in that kind of way, unfortunately, and you've had somebody who's precious to you has given their life for our country. And so I just want to say to all those families that are out there who have fallen heroes, we just want to say thank you to that, thank you to you, and what a blessing for this tomorrow. And I know that I'm not one to rain on anybody's parade, obviously enjoy the picnic and enjoy the fun, but remember it is Memorial Day, you know, there will be some who are very much hurting. And as you just take the time just to reflect, and because it's so often that we truly forget what's taking place. And actually, it dovetails in, didn't have this and planned, so to speak, but actually dovetails into what we're going to be speaking on here this morning. If you have your Bibles, I hope you do, turn the book of Deuteronomy, would you? Deuteronomy, the fifth book there of the Pentateuch. We're going to be looking here in chapter number 8. I'm going to be speaking on something that we all hate to do, yet we still do it. And I'm sure a lot of things can meet that qualification of things we hate, but we still do. One of the things that I'm bringing up here in this specific time is something I have even struggled with, even as a kid, as I was noticing in my life a pattern that I had. I hate to forget things. You say, just wait, son. You're 30 years old, 34 years old. It's going to get worse, they have told me. But I really do. You know, I remember when I was even just a kid, I tried journaling. I tried everything when this realization came to my mind that I am forgetting more of my life than I'm actually remembering. You know, if you think of it like that, it's kind of sad, but it's true, you know. So many times I'm reminded, somebody tell me, hey, remember this story, Adrian, when we were kids? And I'll be honest, I totally forgot about that scenario. But when you bring it up, yeah, I do can kind of piece the things together. For me, it was such a thing that actually my, not pastime, but my parents could actually drop me off at a graveyard and let me be fine because I would literally just go and reflect inside of a graveyard as a 12-year-old. And I remember I went home one day and I said, you know what, this is enough. I don't know if I'll remember anything of my life. And so I went to my room and I grabbed a ball glove. It was just like a baseball glove that I had. And I said, I am going to remember this moment. I took that ball glove and I just sat there and threw it against that wall and caught it. Threw it against that wall and caught it. I know it seems so simple and silly, but I was so fed up with forgetting my life that I said, if I remember nothing else, I don't know how long I stood there just throwing that ball glove against that wall, thinking to myself, I've got to remember something. You know, what's going on in this passage of Scripture is they are forgetting already. God is warning them that they do not forget God. Now, it seems silly. The one who gives you life and breath that you will forget him. However, we do. You know, let me give you, just so we don't parachute down in the middle of the passage and start reading, what's going on? The book of Deuteronomy, by definition, the word means second law, okay? This is the law being given again to the new generation that is there. This is not the generation that was there at Mount Sinai. This is not the generation who saw the Red Sea. Remember, that's all the things that took place, the wilderness wandering. This is after that point. These come through the Jordan, and what's going on is they're getting ready to enter into the promised land. Now, before they enter into the promised land, they have seen God do some amazing things. However, the passage we're getting ready to read is almost like me as a dad preparing my child for something I know they're getting ready to do and they may struggle with. I only have an 8-year-old or anything, so it's not like I've sent my child off to college, but I'm sure before that child heads to college, that mom and dad are going to sit them down and they're going to say, just so you know, here's some things you need to be warned of. And, you know, trying to prep them, so to speak. Well, God is doing that. The children of Israel, they're getting ready to enter to the promised land. This is it, man. This is the big time. You know, in verse number 10, we will begin reading. I don't always ask this, but if you would, for this setting that we have here, I know you've been seated for a while, but would you please stand with me for the reading? The rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand have got me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this You know, as you're here this morning, thank you so much for standing. You can go ahead and have a seat. We're going to have a word of prayer in this message. I don't know if I necessarily have a title. Sometimes I have a title, sometimes I don't. But in essence, the point is this, is not beware of forgetting God. My word of prayer is to begin. Father, I do thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I do love the Bible. Lord, I admittedly, Father, Lord, you have changed me. Lord, it is the only ground on which we can stand. Lord, not tritely, but for real, Father, you and the word of God, Lord, it's just the abundance of truth. And Lord, it's a place where we can bath and understand you. I pray, Lord, that you would help me to be able to
not only just share what you have shown me in this message, but I pray, Lord, that you would just help this to be a transforming truth, a dynamic truth that we leave from here. I do not know the needs here at Marquette Manor. I don't know in and out the business, but I know you. I know your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I know that you can take your word and do anything. So Lord, bless in spite of me. Empty me of myself and fill me with thy spirit to say the things you'd have me to say. Lord, I know there are other vessels that are out there who could preach truth, but I thank you that you've given me the opportunity to preach truth to this crowd of people. May nothing be distracting from what you want us to be able to hear this morning. And Father, whatever it is you do show us inside this room, I pray, Father, that you would help us to heed it. Oh, how we thank you again for the Bible. You bless this time we have together. In Jesus' name, we certainly pray it all. Amen. You know, this passage, as you look at it, he's obviously giving us a beware that something's getting ready to happen. Obviously, in verse 11 through 14, as we go through here, the first thing that we see is beware of getting distracted from God. You know, if you look at this passage, it says, beware that thou, when thou hast eaten and art full. He's saying you're going to go in and you're gonna enjoy the land. This was a land that was the one that was promised, the one that was talked up. This is something that's going to be amazing what they're getting ready to partake of. God is not against them enjoying themselves and enjoying what he is getting ready to bless them with. Sometimes people bemoan the fact of those who have some resources, those who, for lack of a better term, have money. I don't think God's saying anything negative here. He says, I want you to go there. I want you to build a goodly house. I want you to go and enjoy the land that I've given to you. He's not telling them to just sit back and not take in all the blessings. He's saying, no, go, enjoy it. Enjoy the houses that you're going to build. Enjoy the fruit that you're going to eat. But just beware that you don't forget. You know, as we look, I get the rope of mine every Monday. there's some inside this room that, you know, you've been going to church for so long that to not come to church would be socially, seemingly unacceptable. And so therefore, you will be here and you will do your thing, however, distract you from being what God would have you to be outside of this church at Marquette Manor. You see, when you see this here, I do not want us to hate on these things that can seemingly be distractions, because as soon as I begin to name the things we always thought, think to ourselves, you're going against everything. You're one of the things who are against us, everything and everybody. No, no, no. I want to understand that the distractions are neutral, okay? Many times with them being neutral, though, the goodness that I'm giving to you could then be a distraction for you to forget me. What I'm saying is, as we apply this where we are today, beware of being distracted of where God would have us to be. Verses 11 through 14 clearly points this out, as he says, when thy herds and thy flocks to multiply, and the silver and gold is multiplied, and all that hast is multiplied. And then it says, thine heart be lifted up. So we see this first. Beware of being distracted from God. Number two, let's look here in verses 15 through 17. If you want to know how long I preach, I just preach to the text. So as we get in verse 19, we know we're done, all right? Verses 15 through 18, it says this. Who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and there was no water? Who brought thee forth out of the rock of flint? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end? Now, he's first, we say, beware of getting distracted from God. But then beware of forgetting that God is the source of everything we have. Look, you know, he wants to remind them. Hey, y'all weren't there. Y'all weren't there. But let me just remind you. I'm the ones who brought your mommy and daddy out of there. I am the one who blew the minds of the Egyptians and split the Red Sea in half. I am that God. And he's reminding them, never forget the source of everything you have. Because look at the progression. When you begin to make something as big as you to God, then God is now in the rearview mirror. And since God is now in the rearview mirror because we are distracted from him, then we got to find the source of everything we have. Why is it that you are successful? Because then it says later on in verse number 18, but thou, verse 17, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. When you push God out of the way, you got to have a source of why it is you're so successful, why it is you and I are so smart and so advanced compared to everybody else. And when you forget the source of that God is the one who's the source, you then become the God unto yourself. You know, as you look, it's made so interesting because I always debate, you know, different things. I am not preaching a music sermon in the least here, but let me just tell you two types of songs that do kind of bother me. You know, You know, and I think that this is across the board. These are just principles that I'm not going for. This is Pastor Slagle's department. He's preaching on this. This is just two principles that I go across the board. First principle is this, is when a song is like singing to Jesus like he's your boyfriend. That's really awkward to me. You know, get the mic. Oh, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just weird. You know, it's just weird. Jesus is not our boyfriend. Jesus is God. All right? We love him. We adore him. We worship him. Okay? So that's number one. Number two, though, is a song that makes me look like God was just up in heaven. Ah, can't do anything, but then I found you. Oh, thank God, because if you were there, if you, person on the roof, I didn't have you, my universe would just come to an end. Now God loved me, and God has an ordained purpose for my life. You see what I'm saying? But remember, he is the one that's God, okay? Now, when you look here at this passage, you go through it, you begin to see the beware, the source of everything you have is Christ. Psalm 46, in fact, let me just read this. I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but in Psalm 46, this is pointed out because this is a psalm that says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then it says in verse 2, therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed. He says in verse 6, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. He says in verse 9, he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. So what he's saying here in this passage is remember just who God is. He says, when I utter my voice, the earth could melt. That's something that doesn't make me think the house that I built on my own is so amazing anymore, is it? He says, when the nations fight against each other, you know, it's a picturesque language of one nation like Russia having a barrel arrow and another nation. And you have another world power who has a spear. You know, and in fact, you know, the imagery is they're fighting. God says, I pluck the bow out of his hand and I break it. I pluck the spear and I grind it. Do you realize how big he is? And then it says this, be still. And just know, I am God. Folks, it is easy to let our success make us think that God is not there.
Right.
That we are the source. No. He continues on because this is kind of wording he's used in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. You know, the letter that lived to church, the Laodicea. Verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Remember that? As the Lord says, he's there, and I know that verse is many times used in context of salvation, of Christ knocking on a person's heart for salvation. And look, I understand the application that is there, but in context, it's talking about the church, okay? Well, Jesus Christ is there, and he's knocking on the door of his church. And what he's saying is this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, that indicates he's knocking on the door and he wants somebody to answer the door. If any man hear my voice, I will open the door and come into him and sup with him and he with me. So that means he's waiting for somebody on the inside of the church to hush. To realize he's not there. To realize they've forgotten him. Yeah, you look at this, you think, but he's God. He's the one. He's the creator. He's the one who hung the stars in space. Yes, 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 that God. We can forget. You say, Adrian, how's that possible? Let me take a bird's eye view of my past week and ask myself the question, did I forget God? If I looked at my habits of this past week, can I honestly say I have remembered God? You know, you look at this, not only beware of getting distracted from God, beware of forgetting that God is the source of everything. You know, as you continue to read in this passage, not only that, you see only a few more things here. You know, some of you might complain that I do talk fast, but I'm almost done. Can you believe that? So it's not so bad anymore, is it, right? But if you keep on going, verse number 18, it says, thus remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that gave thee power to get well, because he knew there'd be one smart outcome in the group who thought to themselves, it was my power. He says, I gave you that power to get what you have.
that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And then he says in verse number 19, these final warnings, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Now, let's do a little defining here, because what is he saying here? He's giving a warning that if you forget God, then this is going to be a definite penalty, because if you forget God, you serve other gods, etc. So we got to first define this word, because in forgetting, in Psalm 9:6, where the Bible says, the wicked shall be turned to hell and all the nations that forget God. Forget, the word, we have a very unilateral word of the word forget in English. However, the word, it's not just the fact of, hey, I had my keys this morning and I forgot my keys. It's not like that. You know, forgetting in this context here has the idea, and forget the two-word definition, but purposely oblivious. That means I know something and I remain oblivious to the fact of what something I should know. Hence, that sometimes there are different things. We say that God answers prayer, and I understand the fact of God answering our prayers and every answer being yes in his will. But practically speaking, people say there's three answers to prayer. Yes, there's no, and there's wait. Well, let me add one more to that, and that is you ought to already know. If you weren't oblivious to what I'm showing to you, if you were to heed my face, then you would know. So forgetting also has the idea of remaining purposely oblivious. Now, why is that important? Oh, see, this is even the area of salvation, which is so important, because for me as an evangelist, the gospel is so knit into my heart. And as the gospel is so knit to my heart, one of the things I struggled with was about my kids and Jesus Christ coming back. Where I can be a professional listener. I can nod and say amen and re-choose to, in this wording, I don't want to confuse, but forget God. Meaning staying exactly where I want to be. Hence, I'm not saying we don't struggle with sin. I'm not saying that, you know, as soon as we reach one point, we hit sinless perfection. But I am just curious, as a fair question to everyone in the house, including myself, when's the last time I've had spiritual victory in my life?
Is it truly a cycle of during this revival services, God's people heard about this, I'm going to feel bad about it for about 2 weeks, and then I'm going to do the same thing again. I'm going to then burn all the DVDs, and then I'm going to go and buy them all again, you know, 6 months. What I'm saying is, when's the last time I've made a spiritual decision in the ground, and I said, God, I do not want to be oblivious to that which you have spoken to my heart about. Now, with that being the context and that being the wording, let's read verse 19, okay? But and it shall be that if thou do at all forget,
that means I try to correct you, you refuse. I try to correct you, you remain oblivious.
If you forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify you against this day, ye shall surely perish. I preach a lot to teens. Probably one of the largest things in my schedule is doing teen camps and stuff, right? I did some of this past, it was at a New Year's gathering, and all you teenagers are here. I did something I never did before. And even when I did it, I was kind of like, wow, you know, it was like definitely spirit led, because I was like, man, this is a big one, this is a big promise to make to God. I'm a huge tech fan. I love all things technology, consumer electronics, Apple family, should be great, easy, but I'm just saying, I'm a big Apple fan. And I enjoy just, you know, the times, tech, whatever you call it, right? And so one of the things I do on the side is I do sell and buy different electronics and stuff. I took all my devices and I brought them to the front. I mean, my MacBook, iPad, all this stuff, and I took all of them, I stacked them in front of the audience of the teens. And I said, here you go, guys. Here's what I want every teenager to do. I want you to take everything that you have that means something to you. Some of you don't care about your phone. You don't care. But some whatever means something to you. Set it down and say this. God, if that makes me forget you, take it. Your house. You look at this passage, all consuming. Obviously, it's a giant warning. It's a help to hear. But in conclusion, though, I went to a church in Michigan, and I love the way that their landscape is and something they have at the front of the church. As you pull into the church, it has these rocks, huge rocks. And it has like these big rocks, and then it has the sign or post that says this: "What mean ye by these stones?" I love the imagery. You see, what happened was this: when the children of Israel, the last generation, came out of the Red Sea, you know what happened? They grabbed that tambourine, and I tell you what, Miriam got the play, and everyone was praising God. Man, they were thanking God. Whoa, we've been delivered from the hand of the Egyptian. Lord, Lord, Lord. Man, they singing their heart out. Amen. And a little while later, they mad at God. And so next time it happened, God split the Jordan in a different way, but he split the Jordan. Before they got themselves on the other side, God said, hold up. tune and our memory, there was something to see. So that when your family went on family vacation by the Jordan River, and you're going there, you're frisked by the Jordan River, and your son looks at you, dad, and says, "Hey, dad, what's this pile of rocks doing here?" Do you know why that pile of rocks is there, son? That pile of rocks is there because God, that came out the middle of that river right over there, and God split that thing in half so you could enjoy what you are enjoying right now.
Right.
What's this? Another sign to not forget God. Because we must admit, as big as He is, it's easy to forget Him. Also, we should think of this in two different lives. You know, I guess I am termed a millennial, right? Whatever that conjures up in your mind, right? And I know the millennial joke's abound, but my joke is always someone raised me. However, let's not go there, right? But do you know what's interesting, though? I can see, look at the difference between the two generations. Now, the previous generation had no doubt seen miracles by God. Jaw-dropping, amazing. So that when they had kids, let me tell you what God did. Oh, that river, it was big. Oh, it was in half. He did this. Whoa, amazing, right? But then, in the same breath, man, God ain't doing nothing for us. Man, God, man, we still hungry. You hung out hungry. You see what I'm saying is, they heard that God did good things. But practically speaking, they're watching people who are complaining about the same God who did such amazing things in the past. What it does is it breeds for the new generation then to distinct in their mind that yes, He has done these amazing and jaw-dropping things, but apparently it doesn't really carry over many, many years because look at the problem that's in front of me. Look, they're worshiping a calf in the middle of the wilderness. What I'm saying is, when you forget the Lord thy God, don't only think about it, the consequences for yourself, but the ones that come after you. The ones that come after you. To be able for them just to hear about a God who did good things. I believe when I was 16 years old, 17 years old, I saw God. Not just terminology, not just nice. Not nice wording. And when I was 16 years old, it was a Sunday, Easter Sunday. Clearly, I saw God's hand move in a way that I would term in my lifetime, where I was out of my church locally, that I saw revival. I just don't want to tell Jasmine about that and live on that for the future. I want her to see it. I want her, by the grace of God, to see a daddy who, by the grace of God, is not going to try to forget God in the midst of all He's done for us. You know, some may walk out of this room and you say, "Adrian, I want to give God glory. I want to give God praise, but I ain't got nothing to praise Him for." Well, let me ask you this. If you come to church and you don't feel you got nothing to praise God for, praise Him for everything you forgot to praise Him for. Just thank Him for all that He's done in your life that you didn't know about. You say, "Well, I got to be real. I just got to be real, you know, in front of my kids. Let them know, hey, when God does bad, when God doesn't do this, God doesn't do this, I want to know." Well, okay. I'm not saying we live a lie, but what I'm saying is there are sometimes God takes away, God gives, God takes away. I understand that clearly. But many times there are so many things that God does, we don't even acknowledge Him for it. Beware, church. Beware, Adrian. Not to forget the Lord thy God. We bow our heads and close our eyes together.